My guest at this time is Patrick Hedger. He is the manager of the Regulatory Action Center at the FreedomWorks Foundation. FreedomWorks is celebrating a decision made public earlier this week by EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt, saying that the EPA will no longer take part in the culture known as sue and settle, which is a way of allowing political allies to sue you over an issue and eventually reaching an agreement which weakens existing policy in return for not taking the suit to court. And Patrick, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, I explained it a little bit there, but obviously for those who don't know much about sue and settle, explain it in a little more detail. What is this practice that's been going on for a long time in this town?
Sure. This has basically been a bipartisan practice, but it has accelerated greatly during the Obama administration. And essentially what you have happen is agencies will sometimes collude with private actors such as third-party non-governmental organizations, nonprofits, and other activist organizations in order to facilitate an expedited rulemaking process that goes outside of the normal rulemaking process. And essentially, it's two parties, the agency and then the third party, that ultimately agree on the policy outcome. There will be sort of a faux lawsuit, and instead of taking that suit to court, as you explained, they will settle it out of court, generally behind closed doors, in a process known as a consent decree. And that consent decree will force the agency to act in a way that's normally a lot faster and more aggressive than a normal federal rulemaking process.
And while speed is part of it, another part of it is covering your political backside, right? Because you're claiming that you're trying to avoid a drawn-out legal fight, and you're trying to get the best possible deal from this bad situation with your quote-unquote adversary when really you're in cahoots with them, right?
That's correct. Yeah, this is a way for agencies to avoid political accountability for controversial decisions. And usually we've seen very expensive and aggressive regulations being passed, particularly environmental regulations. This is a way for agencies like the EPA in the past to say, well, we had our hands tied by this lawsuit, even though this was their ultimate political goal.
Any particular examples from the Obama administration or any other administration that come to mind as particularly a bulletin board material example of this?
Oh, certainly. There's several dozen good examples, each of which cost, upwards of several billion dollars per year in compliance. Probably one of the more expensive one is the utility MAC rule, or the utility maximum achievable control technology rule, which basically forces power plants to put in expensive new infrastructure to achieve extremely stringent emission standards. That's estimated to cost almost $10 billion annually. There was Clean Water Act rules that apply to the Chesapeake Bay. Those are estimated to cost anywhere from $18 to $20 billion per year. All of these were achieved through sue and settle litigation.
So what does this mean now that Scott Pruitt won't allow this? It basically means regular order on discussing rules and potential changes to rules. Is that the extent of it, or is there more to it?
Well, what's really unique about this, and folks should take note of, is that this is a process that had been used by both Republican and Democratic administrations. And this just shows that the Trump administration is very much so committed to getting back to, as you said, regular order and the proper way of doing things. Instead of using this political end around to achieve its own goals, the Trump administration is just trying to bring the government back in line with the Constitution and the Administrative Procedures Act, which is supposed to govern regulations.
What's your overall take on Administrator Pruitt at this point? I know we're only about 9 months in, but we just also had him announcing the effort to roll back the Clean Power Plan, which a lot of people thought, especially on the right, was excessive in its terms emissions reduction requirements. So I know there's been other issues along the way as well, including the Waters of the United States rule, all of which put some compliance burdens on a lot of people. So overall, what's your take on Pruitt?
I think Administrator Pruitt is doing a phenomenal job of, first and foremost, putting the Constitution first. Environmental protections are very important and a noteworthy goal to have. But ultimately, and this is something that even liberal law professors of Lawrence Tribe comes to mind when he testified about the Clean Power Plan and basically said you can't throw out the Constitution in order to achieve these objectives. The Constitution has to come first. And that's really what we're seeing from Scott Pruitt, in that, there is a way to achieve a clean environment while also adhering to rule of law. And I think that's the structure that we're seeing from Pruitt's EPA.
Eventually, obviously, we'll have a new administrator and a new presidential administration. Since Pruitt has publicly announced the end of this, is it incumbent upon anyone who wants to bring it back to announce that, or can they just do it very quietly and go back to the old way of doing things?
You know, sadly, for all of these great reforms that are occurring across the administration, and particularly in the EPA in regards to regulatory reform, a lot of this can be undone if there is a Democratic administration or a particularly aggressive Republican administration in the future. So this does, at some level, has to fall back on Congress to stop passing these vague laws. And particularly in the case of Sue and Settle, there are parts of the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act that encourage this type of practice. So Congress should look in, to go in and basically clarify that they'd never intended for this type of sue and settle and consent decree practice to happen.
I want to follow up on one other thing you said, Patrick, and this will have more of a direct impact on our listeners probably than hearing me ask you questions about the political process here in Washington, and that's the impact on their day-to-day lives, whether it's property owners or business owners. The issue of compliance and not having to comply to onerous regulations done through this kind of backdoor, back-channel way of doing things is probably welcome news. So when you look at some of these egregious examples that you were talking about from years past, whether it's time, whether it's money spent on potential violations and fines and that sort of thing, what's the impact now on American citizens that this won't be happening, at least for the next probably 3 years for sure?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the regulations that were passed by this, again, you know, billions of dollars in compliance per year. You look at the various Clean Water Act provisions, which essentially extended EPA authority to dry ditches on your land. You know, anywhere that could, any potential geographic surface that could hold water, all of a sudden became a navigable water of the United States. So you see, there will be a major economic impact, and there's also the impact of property rights, reaffirming property rights, and essentially in reaffirming the takings clause of the Constitution, and that the government has gone around the takings clause by instituting regulatory takings. You'll definitely see a rollback of that, and it basically allows people to use their private property as they wish. But right now, there's so much focus on tax reform, which is good, but if you look at the estimates of the economic burden of federal regulation versus the economic burden of taxes, they estimate that the regulatory burden in this country approaches $2 trillion per year, which is more than is collected in individual and corporate income taxes.
Wow. Say that again?
Yeah, so the conservative estimates of the regulatory burden, the annual cost of complying with the millions of different federal regulations, the hundreds of thousands of pages in the Code of Federal Regulation, is estimated to be about $2 trillion per year. And that's a little bit above what is collected in combined income and corporate taxes.
So when Trump talks about rolling back regulations, while I'm sure you're pleased with most of what he's done so far, it sounds like you're saying he's just scratched the surface.
Well, he's doing a phenomenal job, but yeah, certainly there's a long way to go because we are talking about, you know, really since the dawn of the progressive era in the 1930s on, an aggressive buildup of federal regulation, this administrative state, the fourth branch of government. It's extremely expensive, and it places a huge burden that is both seen and unseen. You have the regulatory costs of folks having to modify their businesses, hire lawyers, fight the government, and then the unseen costs of businesses that essentially say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to deal with these regulations, so I'm not even going to open my doors. So it's a huge economic burden that hopefully we'll see a little bit of relief of because of the Trump administration's reforms.
Well, and getting rid of sue and settle, at least in the EPA, is a big part of that, since that's where a lot of that type of tactic was taking place on environmental issues. Patrick, thank you very much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.